FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steve on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday, hump day. We are more than halfway through this week, and what a hot week we have had. We'll talk about that in a second. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Steen here. Scott doing a little bit of work, trying to get out of a meeting. He'll be here maybe 4:30, but hoping I get him for that last segment. Randy Wayhofer coming in at 5 today. No softball, so he was safe. The iCubs are traveling, so, and we'll talk about them when he gets there. Really good day today. What else do we have here? We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at @happyhour_SS, at Steen on Sports, at @ScottBrower_13, and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website's 1700thechamp.com. Both the podcast, Mondays and Tuesdays podcast, are up. So you can check them out wherever you download your podcast, or you can go to the website and you can download them there as well. We have the Minnesota Twins and the Milwaukee Brewers. They are in the top of the ninth, and it is 6-6. Minnesota has two outs with runners on first and second. I will keep you updated as much as I can. It's an important game today. They lost a game yesterday. The Guardians won a game, so that takes away another game there. So going to check and see how they do. As always, want to thank the sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broadlawns Hospital. Couldn't do this without all of them. So we will we're always going to talk about them, but we're always very appreciative of what they have done. Okay, top stories. I mean, there's two. We'll talk about the Iowa Hawkeye story here in just a second. Bigger story, man, it is hot outside. Last I checked, it was, well, let me check real quick here. It was 98 when I was coming in here today. 114 on the what it feels like scale, which is incredibly yuck. So we'll see. It says right now in Urbandale, which was where I am, it is 99, feels like 117. Are you kidding me? Wow. And it is, it's not going away either. I think tomorrow, 99 tomorrow, 91 on Friday. Then we finally get some reprieve, 84, 81, 82, 79, 82 before it warms back up towards the end of next week. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the weather. With the Twins, did not get any of the, they had runners on first and second, no outs. And they did not get a run across, so it goes to the bottom of the ninth in Milwaukee with the score tied at 6-6. So, yeah, if you're out and about, if you are out working, it is incredibly hot. Take your time. Drink plenty of water. It is crazy hot out there, so everybody take care, please. And it, you know, we're in Iowa. I get that. We haven't had that kind of heat in a while. So, I don't know what to tell everybody. And then I hear that, you know, winter may be not as much snow, maybe, but cold. So it makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. But hey, we're gonna deal with it. We're Iowans, so we are gonna deal with it. All right, so. Let's jump into the big news of the day. Noah Shannon has been suspended for a year. Not gambling on his own team, gambling on from if you read the tea leaves, maybe a basketball game, a women's basketball game. Seems I here, let's I'll finish the story first. There are others, but he is the only one that has given the team permission to put his name out there. I think there were three others, along with some managers or whatever, is what I've heard. But that one came out today. That is one of the strengths of the Iowa football team, is their defensive line. But losing a starter like that is not a good thing. And when this happened at Iowa State, I think Matt Campbell was disappointed, but he didn't go, he didn't venture very far out there on the limb to what I would call, what I would do is and call bullcrap, that in the whole entire country, and I understand that whole entire country doesn't have sports betting in it, but there are a lot of places that it is. And the only two schools that have any kind of issue is Iowa and Iowa State. I find that very hard to believe. And I've already said my two cents on the fact that they were pinging athletes' phones. I mean, there's just a lot of things. Listen, I get it. You're not supposed to do that. You're not. It's when you sit down in these meetings, you're not supposed to do that. You know what else you're not? You're not supposed to drink. You're not supposed to go out to bars. You're not supposed to drink and drive. You're not supposed to do all kinds of things. You're not supposed to get in fights. You're not. There are all kinds of rules, and rules get broken all the time. But rules, you're not having outside people running an investigation and not keeping you up to date on what's happening. I mean, it's very. It is very disheartening what's happening. And just to throw it on the Iowa State side as well, one of ISU's young athletes, Jake Reimsburg, was back at practice today. I didn't know he could come back to practice. I feel like coaching staffs don't understand what's going on. Athletic directors don't understand what's going on. And once again, we are allowing the NCAA, and you know where my fight is. My fight is always with the NCAA, because the NCAA, their stated purpose is to oversee national collegiate amateur athletes and try to give them their best, to put their best foot forward to be in the NCAAs. If anybody thinks that's what their main goal in life is, you are crazy. The NCAAs, if you look at how they do and what they do and the willy-nilliness that they do, they are not there for the student athletes. They're there to make money. And they're making a ton of money. And trust me, these football programs aren't going to do this, because this is a isolated incident in these programs. But seriously, I would love to see one of these programs go, you know what? I don't like that this is happening. I don't like that it's only happening to us. I don't like the fact that we weren't aware of an investigation. I don't like the fact that how it was reported and how it was leaked. I don't like any of this. You know what? I'm going to play my guys, and you see what you can do. And we'll keep fighting you, and we'll see who wins. 10 years ago, I would have told you the NCAA would win every single time, because the decks were stacked against the teams and the players. It's not that way anymore. The reason that we have name, image, and likeness, and the reason that we have the transfer portal and all that, has nothing to do with the NCAA. It has everything to do with groups of individuals that said, enough is enough, and we're going to take care of this. And we're going to go out there and make sure that we can do this. And you know what? If they want to catch up and do this, fine. If they want to come in and stop it and do all that, it's a really funny thing what's going to happen. Because if you think the NCAA right now, and I'll list them in order, if you think the NCAA has more power than the Big Ten, more power than the SEC, more power than the Big 12, the more power than the Pac-12, even though there's nobody left, or more power than the ACC or anyone else, you're crazy. They have no power. They're doing everything human. They're going to the courts. They're going to Congress. They're going to anybody to try to help them get back control. It's not going to work. And the really funny thing, because there are some coaches, there are some athletic directors, there are some presidents that are going, you know what, this isn't right. We need to go back to the way it was. There are very few and far between. Because it can't go back to where it was. It can't go back to where coaches have movement, athletic directors had movement, presidents of universities have movement. But the one thing, the one individual that and anybody that's at a college for a educational purpose, they have movement. But the only thing that doesn't have movement is college athletes. It's not going to happen in this day and age. It's done. It's over. The NCAA is going to continue to lose all of its power that it has over these individuals, which is the way it should be. You're also seeing that coaches are having to start, you know what? I just can't walk into a room and bullcrap people into coming to my university and promising the world and that not following through. Once again, I get it that not everybody jumps up on the mountaintop and goes out of their way to scream and say, this is what happened to me. You know, once it happens, they tuck their tail and they go do something else. But they don't do that anymore because they don't have the same power. Coaches don't have the same power. I mean, I mentioned two things yesterday. Alabama has no idea in the world who their quarterback's going to be of their three. Now, trust me, their three quarterbacks are all really good quarterbacks, but they have no idea. Ohio State, going into a week away from playing a football game, doesn't know who they're going to start at quarterback. You know why? And you know why Clemson couldn't keep their quarterback or somebody else couldn't keep their quarterback? Because they could go somewhere else where somebody wanted them and was going to treat them differently, and they were going to play. That's what this is all about. So I'm so sick and tired of having to just continue to read some of the coaches going, this isn't fair, you can't do this. You know, it was fair for you to bring in five different people to play one position and promise all of them playing time, but four of them didn't get any, and now they're just sitting there. That's not the way college athletics are going to be anymore. And that's why you see Alabama not knowing. That's why you see all these teams are going to be on TV. You're going to get your exposure. If you're good, you're going to make money. If that's what you want, you're going to make money. If you want to get to the professional ranks, every game is on TV. Every scout looks everywhere. All you have to do, and here's the thing that works. You, instead of having the school be your marketing or ESPN be your marketer or Fox be your marketer because of who they put on TV and who they show and who they talk about and the only people they talk about, get you a marketing rep and get out there and have them start doing it and see how much you can do. Football is the tough one because there's 120 kids. Basketball is going to be even a bigger difference because there's only, at the most, there's 14 of you. And you know there's another recruiting class coming in. They're not going to be able to promise you the world and then not have it happen and be able to keep you there. It's not going to happen. And do I think it's the perfect world? No, but you know what I want? I want a couple of years of this and then put some calm heads together and say, okay, we can't have the wild, wild west, even though we had the wild, wild west before, but the problem was it wasn't really the wild, wild west. It was like six teams that had control over everything because they had the backing of networks. If it was Fox Sports for Big Ten or ESPN for SEC and Big Ten, they had the networks doing their work for them and guiding these kids to these schools because they were schools that they you know what? They had him on TV, and it was worth it, and it was moneymaker for them. It's not the way the world is anymore, and I appreciate that it is. Getting back to the Iowa Hawkeyes thing, he bet on a basketball game. Now, if you, I have some issues, and here's the problem that I have, and I apologize for this. So I'm just going to say, player A, player B, or player C. If player A bet on his own football team, I have an issue with that. Now, my issues break into two things. If he bet on his football team to win, even though I still have an issue with that, I'm okay with that. That means that for him, everything that he did on the football field or on the sidelines or during practice, everything was trying to make it so his team won. If he bet on his football team to lose, I don't think they should be able to play collegiate sports anymore. I'm sorry. And if people don't like the differential between the two, then you're going to have to, it's really, it's 264-1700, and you tell me that there's not a difference between those two scenarios. If all is true, what they said about Noah Shannon, he bet on a women's college basketball team. Now, he's in the same boat as all these guys, and then he tried to hide it. I have a real issue with that, too. You're pinging phones. You're doing all this stuff. And that's what you're going to get them on, was the fact that maybe they didn't come out clean and tell you, and so they tried to hide the fact. I don't like where it's going. I don't like where it's headed. And I don't like the fact that it's only two schools in the state of Iowa. I don't care if it's Colorado, California, Arizona. If it was anybody and it was the only place it was going on, I don't like it. It's got to be everywhere where there's sports betting or nowhere where there's sports betting. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to Steen. You're listening to me on Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. My partner's still at work, so he's trying to get here. And when I don't see him across there, I just automatically go Steen on Sports. Didn't mean to do that. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at @HappyHour_SS, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, and at @ScottBrower_13. The Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. The Twins and the Brewers are in the top of the 10th. Minnesota has runners on first and second and no outs. So we'll keep you updated on that as well. Big game, big game for them. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to NW Bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank, or you can view the Biz Buzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay, found a couple of funny things that I really liked. Here's the one. I'm going to give credit for this, too. It's Quinn Douglas. I've never met Quinn, but I think this is hilarious. He said, the best way I can describe the Iowa ISU gambling probe, you're a dude that just got pulled over for going 4 over the speed limit. No one ever checks you for it, but you found the one officer that wasn't going to put up with it. The problem is the officer that didn't let you slide is Harvey Keitel in Copland, corrupt as they come, NCAA. Love it. That's a very good situation there, you know, and it's one of those things where, hey, you know what? You can't be doing sports gambling. Hey, you know what? We are going to sign some of the biggest contracts in the next 6 months to 18 months and have all kinds of sports betting going on in college football, because they need money, and that's what they're going to do. It is... I can't even talk about it anymore. The second one was that they had an update that at least six NFL teams have called the Colts about trading for running back Jonathan Taylor, and two of them have already made offers. So we just don't have any idea what those offers are. And I apologize. I know people are probably getting angry with me because I think that they start with runners on first and second when they're in extra innings. So just saying, I knew that, but I kind of let that one go and didn't mean to. So just getting back to that, I think I like the fact that, Kirk Ferentz actually did not take this sitting down and has some really big concerns about it. I understand why Matt Campbell did not, and it's actually I would be hypocritical if I would have expected that, because I was the one that said, you know what, I want Matt Campbell to get back to being Matt Campbell and not doing some of the things he did on the sidelines and doing all that. You know what? Win football games. Get your team ready, do whatever you have to do, and you go out there. If you don't want to fight that fight, send somebody else out there to fight that fight. Let Jamie fight that fight. Let you know, one of your spokespeople do it. I get it. It's not like Kirk Ferentz to do it, and I think the reason Kirk Ferentz did it today is because he's ticked off. He thinks it's BS. I think it's BS. Listen, I get it. And the one thing that's out there today, it was a Twitter poll. Who's to blame? The coach, the student athlete, the NCAA, nobody. Well, if you get caught doing it, you're to blame. It's the individual athlete. It's that's who's to blame to do this. And the minute I say that, I get hit on social media. Well, and I, you know, you didn't say that about Northwestern. That was hazing on campus, inside your locker room with people on your team doing it to other people on your team. That wasn't somebody sitting in their room on a cell phone wagering bets that you have no way of knowing. Those are two totally separate things. The only thing that was doing for these individuals, and this wasn't, they're not punishing the team for these, they're punishing individuals. When something like happened at Northwestern or Penn State or anywhere else that's happened, that is an institutional problem, and you punish everybody except for the individuals that had it happen to them, and they're still being punished. So don't give me that crap. It's not, listen, there is no possible way. Number one, it'd be, and unless you take away all social media and all cell phones from all your athletes, and folks, 2023, you can't do that. I'm sorry. This isn't 1970s where the coaches got to do whatever they wanted to do. It doesn't happen that way anymore. It's the greatest thing that's happened in NCAA, and even more now, even though it's more now in all the sports. It's becoming more of an even split on who has, you know, who has the most authority. In the NBA, it's pretty close. Players, NFL, unless you're a running back, it's pretty close. Baseball, it's pretty close. In NCAA, these kids are under a coaching staff and an athletic department. But what they did was an individual thing. It's no different than if they'd have gone out and underage drinking or any other thing that would have, it's the individual doing it. They were sports betting and they knew they shouldn't have been doing it. Do I think that you should be suspended forever? Do I think you should be suspended for a season? No. Do I think some people should be punished more? I've already told you that. I have a bigger problem if you were betting on your team to lose because you had every opportunity to help in that endeavor. If you were betting on your team to win, all you had to do was go out and do your normal thing. But if you were betting on your team to lose, or you were betting on the over-under and you have a something that you can see on TV that changes your mind that, man, that looked kind of weird. It didn't look weird when we didn't know, but now that we see it, it looks weird. That's a little bit different. If you bet on your team to win, you're out there. You've the whole entire week, you have told everybody in the world that you're going to win this game. That's what you have to do as a student athlete. If Noah Shannon bet on a women's basketball game and he was of age, man, I'm having a hard time that he gets a year suspension. I think that's ludicrous. And I think I would fight it. And I'm telling you, and I know they're not going to do it, but that would be a case that I'd say, okay, NCAA, let's see how much teeth you have. I'm going to play him. I take that back. I would go to my team and say, here's what can happen. I want to play him because I don't think what they're doing is right. I don't think the punishment was fair. I don't think the way they did the investigation was fair. I'm going to play him. But everybody needs to know that if it comes back and we lose or it's not taken away, that we could end up losing games. And nobody's going to want to do that. And I bet Noah Shannon's not going to want somebody to do that. But it does irritate me, and I apologize if you don't agree, but I don't get it. So it's not something that I want to do. I want to talk about this when Scott and Randy come in too. But today's a crazy. Kobe Bryant would be 45 today. I got to tell you, I can tell you where I was when I learned that Kobe Bryant passed away in the helicopter crash. And I still sit in this chair at Nana's house every night. I was at Homemakers. We were buying furniture when it happened. And I'm trying to figure out, I feel worse for their family, and I feel worse for Gigi, and I feel for Kobe, but I feel for Gigi not having the opportunity to excel with her dad. You know, I sometimes struggle with LeBron and his boys, but then I take a step back and go, you know what? Sometimes I have blinders on when it comes to LeBron. He's a great dad. He's doing what's best for his kids. And he's no different than what Kobe was. And I really believe that. A big opportunity was missed, not having Kobe around for another 20, 30 years. And what he could have done for sports in general. But what he could have done for women's athletics in general would have been quite amazing. And she was going to be an amazing basketball player. And it's sad. And, you know, it hit me differently. And I saw one of these today that they, there's kind of a big thing going on out there right now. And I thought I'd talk about it really quick. And it's on two folds. It was, one of the things that I noted today, and I had it in my camera I took some pics today to be able to talk about it, and one of that was the four most how did they put it the most influential NBA players ever. And I had a little bit of an issue just on one player, but I'm going to tell you who the consensus four were. And this is most influential NBA players ever. And here's their four: Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. It was in no order. I just read them going from one side to the other. And I looked at that list, and I thought to myself, is there anybody else that I would put on that list, and who would I take out? And one of the things that always comes up with me, and maybe it's my age, I'm 57, but I always have, and the reason it doesn't get as much, he doesn't get as much press and things, was because he was angry. He's much better now. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar now, if that would have been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Lew Alcindor coming up and through, I think he would be, in history, he would be seen differently. He was very owly. But what he did in basketball and what he made basketball made changes to basketball because of him. But if I want to take in from 1984 on, I could add two more, but if you have to get to four, because I think Magic and Larry Bird changed and made basketball popular again. I've said before Magic Johnson and Kareem won the title in 80, that game wasn't even going to be on live TV. It was on tape delay. That's how much they changed the game to a certain extent. I can't. What Kobe did on the basketball floor, off the basketball court, all of that, what Michael did off of it, what LeBron has done off of it, and what Steph Curry has done off of it is pretty amazing. And here's the really interesting thing for me is if you take Kobe Bryant and you take Michael Jordan and you take LeBron James, it's hard for any of us to go, man, I want to be like them. Because 1'6'7", 1'6'6", and 1'6'9". It just doesn't happen. Steph Curry's 6'2". Steph Curry is the player he is today because of how hard he works. He didn't just pick up a basketball and could dribble like he does. He didn't just pick up a basketball and shoot like he does. He didn't just pick up a basketball and have the attitude that he does. Now, granted, he had a father who played NBA basketball and was a great player. I think that's always been my Steph Curry push when I talk to anybody. You know what? I can't be like Mike. I can't be like Kobe. I can't be like LeBron. I can't be like Kareem. Heck, I can't even be like Larry Bird, Julius Irving, any of those guys. But I'm 6 foot. I'm shrinking. I can be like Steph Curry if I work hard. Now, that's the hard part, is working hard. I just thought I thought I could fight that list, but I don't think I can, because I think I would override myself. And I'm allowed to do that because I am an only child and I've done it a lot in my life. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. I know Randy Wayhofer's on the way. He just texted me. I'm hoping Scott's on the way too. We'll get going. We're going to have a good day. Be right back.
The Champ. Snap back. Theo wants to throw. Pocket, edges, break down. He escapes the pressure. Theo keeps it alive.
Happy Wednesday. Last segment on this Wednesday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Steen here. Scott on the way. Randy Wayhofer on the way. We're going to have a really fun second hour coming up here. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour _SS, at Scott Brower _13, at 1700 The Champ, and at Randy Wayhofer when he comes in. The Minnesota Twins just lost in extra innings. They are going to look back on this game. And what if they had runners in scoring position and could only in the last three innings, and it could only get one run through on those last three. So another loss there. And I'm looking at the Guardians. The Guardians are playing the Dodgers tonight. You've got to root for the – I mean, if you're not a Dodgers fan, if you're a Twins fan, you better be rooting for the Dodgers tonight. We can't let them lose another game. They don't lose very often anymore. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for a great, outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. Woodman Controls. Couldn't imagine. My buddy Jim is up taking care of my medical mall up in Ankeny. Wouldn't know what to do if we didn't have that program. So pretty excited about that program and how it helps us in days like this, where nobody is, as much as you cannot prepare for below zero temps, you cannot prepare for above 90 degree temps, especially with humidity that we have in this lovely state that we are in. Okay, so just some a little bit of potpourri. Keep it coming. I am looking at social media and the Ames Lager and all the Cyclone beer and vodka and everything coming out. Man, I'm loving that. It is going to be a lot of fun with all of that happening. I did want to get into one thing, and I am a huge Notre Dame fan. Have been since I was young, because it was kind of pretty much the only football that was on. You got it on Channel 13 on Sunday mornings, was a recap with Lindsey Nelson. And I mean, it was all we had. And I got to see plays, and he'd say, you know, you'd see one play and then he'd go in later in that quarter. And that's how I found out how Notre Dame did. It was the first sports watching that I did, and the baseball game of the week. That was it. And look at me now. You have it at your fingertips at every single point in time. Why did I bring up Notre Dame? Well, because today, Notre Dame, it was Jack Swarbrick, who is their athletic director, and they are in Dublin. And I was listening to the Dan Patrick Show today, and he was on the show. And my Notre Dame love kind of stopped after listening. And it's not going to change. I'm always going to be a Notre Dame fan. I have lots of different sports clothing in my closet, and Notre Dame is a big portion of that. But today, Jack Swarbrick, as he always has, he always gets to take his own side, because they are in football, which is the king of sports right now. And he's not, this isn't going to happen for very much longer. He's going to have to make a decision, and he's just going to be one of everybody. But right now, he's not one of everybody. He's one of one, because he's the most powerful independent in the NCAA. And he said, it's a complete disaster what's happened in college athletics. Everybody in the industry has to take responsibility here. I'm not excluding myself from that. Well, you definitely should not be, because you were not helping. Everybody in the industry has to think about a decision. The decision-making lost its way in terms of the focus of the student-athlete and what's primarily best for them. Okay. See, that's where they have to stop. Because that's never been what it's about. They want the best athletes, but it wasn't what for the best of the athletes at all time. It just wasn't. And if you go back through and you look at some of the things that have happened at some of these universities and student athletes, it never was that. Now, it might have been a little bit better back in my day, because the money was not out there. This is a money grab now, and they are not out there looking out for the student athletes. I'm sorry. They're just not. He said, on Stanford and Cal going to the ACC, you can't have two of the greatest academic institutions in the world not have a place to play. We are working on a solution. There's still consideration of the ACC as a home for those schools. On the Pac-12 dying, it says it's looking that way more and more every day. Notre Dame didn't do anything to help that. The only thing that he has done and he got on the committee was because they were the most powerful independent, and the only thing that he's done is try to do what's best for Notre Dame. And I'm not saying he tried to do what's best for Notre Dame athletes. He tried to do what's best for Notre Dame athletics. That's what he's in charge of. He's the athletic director. I love that you want to say that the athletic director is concerned about all of his athletes. With some of the things that are happening, and some of the things that happened in the past 20 years, with the amount of money that was being made and the kind of thumb on the student athletes, I don't think any of them had student athletes at the top of their list. It's how can I make more money? How can I have a bigger stadium? How can I do all this? Oh yeah, and we have student athletes. And I guarantee you that if I had Jamie Pollard in here, he'd walk over here and slug me and say, I'm never talking to you again. And then I'd look at Jamie and go, Jamie, some of the things that you've done is amazing. And for the institution at Iowa State, or Gary Barta, what he did at Iowa, and all those things, I get it. But not all of them had to do with the student athletes. I'm sorry. It just, when you look at it from outside in, they weren't building from the student athletes out. They were trying to figure out the way that they can make the most money so maybe some of that money could be passed down. And that's, you know what? We had to deal with that. The thing you can't do is we can't go back to that same thing. And when I listen to June Jackson, I mean, he actually says, what we've done to the student athletes, what you've done to the student athletes is finally empower them. He said, I think the decision making lost its way in terms of focus of the student athletes and what's primarily best for them. You know what's primarily best for them? To give them opportunities to share in your wealth and share in everything that you have. That means if Notre Dame loses their football coach, which they have, their football coach didn't have to sit out for a year. He didn't have to give back any of his money. He didn't have to sit out for a year. He got to go wherever he wanted, and you hired the next guy that you took from another school, and it's a vicious circle. The student athletes didn't have any say in that. The student athletes didn't have any say in who was hired. So don't tell me that you're there for the student athletes. Bunk. That's just bunk. If you think that at Notre Dame, at any of these places, when they're looking at what it costs to put an athletic department together and everything that goes with it and all of that, they're looking as a whole at the student athlete. But they're out there trying to figure out any kind of monetary way that they can make it bigger, better, and make more money. We're in conferences and we're having conference realignment because you know what happened? The television stations, corporations decided, hey, you know what? We're powerful enough that we can control this. We can maneuver parts around. We can maneuver parts to get USC and UCLA in the Big Ten. We can maneuver parts to get Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC. What about the Pac-12 and the Big 12? We're going to let them fight it out. Are you going to help them? Okay. You had somebody go and the Big 12 hit first and they went out and grabbed and they went and got their money and the television stations did the same thing and they gave them money. And who did it leave out? It left out the Pac-12. Now the Pac-12 is not there anymore. If I'm the ACC, I'm going, man, I am in big trouble. And if I'm the Big 12, I got Brett Yormark and he's still going to have to work his butt off to try to get all the schools when it goes to something even bigger. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to Steen. Everybody else is getting on their way out here. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.
Well, the current heat index is 140.
Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We've tripled in size. We've quadrupled in knowledge. So we're much better now.
Did you like my text?
Help is on the way, dear.
Yes, help is on the way. Scotty's in here. Randy Wehofer is the assistant general manager and VP of the Iowa Cubs. He is in studio with us as well. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700thechamp, at Steen on Sports, at ScottBrower_13, at HappyHour_SSN, at Randy Wehofer. Minnesota Twins, we have them Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They have the Rangers, and next Monday, Tuesday, the Guardians. They lost a heartbreaker today, so not going to be happy about that one. Had a lot of opportunity. You, my friend, have the next read.
Heritage Building Maintenance. Provide peace of mind in protecting the future of your building and its occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance, as certified partners in science-proven microbial control, provides an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services. Through data-driven research and development, customers who participate in their science-proven program can be rest assured that they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their building environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. If you have any questions and would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and the science-proven microbial control program, feel free to reach out to one of the dedicated team members at heritagebldg.com or 515-868-0842 today. Heritage Building Maintenance.
There you go.
There you go.
And I, boom, boom, boom,
today,
am looking, and the Iowa Cubs had a good day today. I read it backwards.
Yes.
So today is not that day.
They had a good day, but a bad inning.
A bad inning. That's what happened. There we go.
9-4.
There it is. See, that one just popped up. That's my fault.
Oh, yes, the eighth inning was not good.
Then the eighth inning was
six runs, yes.
There was an error, so only three of the six runs were earned, but it was 4-3 headed to the bottom of the eighth in favor of the I-Cubs, and it appears the wheels fell off the wagon a bit.
Okay. Well, that doesn't help with the mood in here, because my mood wasn't good before you guys came in here.
Okay, but 69-50. I think they're doing okay.
Extremely, extremely happy about that. You guys are out of town this week. You're in Indianapolis, and then you're in
Toledo.
And then the fifth, you come back home and you're there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Last 2 weeks
and then finish in Louisville. So we're in the stretch run here for sure. We're still right very much in the thick of the playoff race. But it's challenging because of the way the playoff format is you've got to be the best team of the 20 International League teams. The divisions are just kind of for window dressing. So we're sitting on top of St. Paul, or we have been, depending on what they do today. But we're chasing Lehigh Valley and Durham on the other side of the league. And obviously we don't play them head-to-head. The second half of that next homestand is head-to-head with St. Paul. So if you play well, probably win the division. We won the division in the first half also. But Norfolk had a better overall record, so they qualified as the first half playoff winner. We may very well have the best record in the International League this year and miss the playoffs is a realistic scenario, the way the format has been drawn up this year. But it's really exciting. The team is playing well. The pitching is a little bit nicked up. Marcus Stroman's lack of return from the disabled list. He was supposed to come off on Thursday and Wednesday. They found the rib cartilage problem, and certainly that kind of shuffled the deck a little bit and made things thinner instead of thicker in terms of depth on the pitching side at the major league and the minor league level. So hopefully we can have enough pitching to get through this, but we'll probably need some help on the other side. And it's too soon to have inspected the schedules for Lehigh Valley and Durham and Worcester, because if you're chasing three teams that you don't play and they're playing each other, you can't catch the team that's going to win every day in a head-to-head matchup. So there'll be some nuance involved there, but we got to take care of business here the next couple of weeks on the road in order for that really to matter.
So you have 8 games left on the road before you come back home.
Correct.
If I can count right. That's a up for debate. Then you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 at home.
12
at home.
12 at home.
And actually 13, assuming we continue to play well, and it matters, the game we lost in Omaha a couple of weeks ago on that Sunday afternoon will be made up as part of a doubleheader on Tuesday, September 6th. That'll still start at noon, but there could be 2-7s instead of 1-9. So assuming we just don't correct right there.
The 5th or 6th?
6th.
The Tuesday?
I'm sorry, Wednesday the 6th. Tuesday the 5th is a night game. The noon game is scheduled for Wednesday, September 6th,
gotcha.
And that would be the day that we would play two. So the game times on your schedule will not change.
That affects us.
Well, I was going to say, kidding. Plus, it also, with the temperature maybe going to go down, we've got to get our tails up there and go to a couple more games. So
absolutely. I agree with that.
I have a weird, I guess, tangent question for you, because I know, in essence, with the whole Savannah Bananas coming into town, you basically are the best Airbnb in Des Moines right now because you're renting your home, if you will. Have they begun? Do they do much to come in? Or has the, I guess, festivities begun for this weekend?
Not quite yet. We have started our preparations to get the stadium ready, but they will start arriving tomorrow to get things set up for Friday.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
You didn't even remember that.
No,
did you?
I did remember, because I people keep sending me social media stuff on it.
Right.
So
I had somebody say, hey, did you still want those tickets? And I'm like, well, it's a week from this Saturday, isn't it? He goes, no, it is Saturday, and we have our yearly river run and kickball party. And I'm like, no, I don't need the tickets. I'm fine. So
kickball and river run. Are you ready for that?
Yeah. No, we sit in the river, and the river runs past us.
Oh, okay.
We drink beer in the river there, Steen. Come on.
Okay.
Well, do I look like a runner to you?
Yeah. Man, since when did you pick up running? Or kickball?
No, kickball is a hoot.
The
cut is 22 years old. If you're 22 and below, you're one team, and then the rest of us are on the other team, and it's a hoot.
Okay, so I started the show today.
You did?
With, it was, Kobe would be 45 years old today.
Yes.
I remember where I was when I heard that, and it was really sad news. And one of the things that, you know, it's really, I think after that happened, there was a lot of people in the sports world, especially in the NBA, that sometimes didn't like Kobe because Kobe could be a rough irritant, but
abrasive. Yes.
But when people didn't see him and behind the scenes, he was very loving and caring, but on the floor was not. There's been a few people like him.
Right.
I said the thing that I probably miss the most is what his way of being a father and a coach with Gigi was going to make Gigi into, because I was thinking Gigi, you know, following like that Caitlin Clark arc to be able to do that. And the fact that you lost both of them was just a really sad thing. And just thoughts. I wanted your thoughts on Kobe. I was a huge Kobe Bryant fan.
I think my eyes have been open after the tragedy more than I was Kobe. I mean, because he was, I hate to say it, as much as my opinion of Tiger has evolved, you know, I wasn't a Tiger fan, thought he was kind of a, you know what, on the, because the things you heard, but once you see him as a father now and go through, yeah, it wasn't exactly the best husband, but he cared a lot about the game. Kobe had his ambiance to him, if you will, his arrogance to I've heard Coach K talk before and spoke of his time on the Olympic team with Kobe. That Kobe, yeah, when you come in, he was, I will be arrogant, I will be, but because I am literally one of the most competitive people on the face of the earth.
Right.
So again, it came across as cocky arrogance when I watched Kobe in his playing days to who he was becoming afterwards, where it was, I want people to make sure to know that I am bringing change to, whether it's the game, whether it's awareness, whatever it was, he was an interesting dude. He was a powerful dude.
Were you a Kobe fan, Randy?
I probably not. Growing up in suburban Chicago during the Bulls Michael Jordan era, my early impressions was him, was he wanted to be Michael.
Absolutely.
And he admitted that, and I think we can kind of tend to gravitate toward the people that still had some mystique about them when you were young enough to still allow people to have some mystique. I was probably right at the wrong age to appreciate what he was doing individually, and really in the meat of my beginnings of my minor league baseball career where the NBA finals are tough for me to follow.
Right.
You know, in terms of my own schedule and my own watching, it's a different kind of thing. And certainly, you know, I talked about this a little bit recently with somebody about all the things that we admire about terrific athletes and competitors that we watch, we really dislike when we're face-to-face with other people.
Oh, absolutely.
And he embodies that pretty interestingly.
Because not very many of us can do that. I mean, I don't have that switch. I mean, I can't do it. I'm not a mean person. I mean, I can, if right situation, but normally not. And then I feel really bad afterwards. So I agree with that. The other, and Randy, I'm gonna start with you first on this, because every time I ask you a question, your responses are so good and put Scott at ease on sometimes what I ask. But with this going on today with the sports betting at the University of Iowa, and with Noah Shannon in particular, he bet on a women's basketball game. Now, granted, once again, they did something they knew they weren't supposed to do. But a whole year, you lose a whole year. He didn't bet on his football team. He didn't bet for his football team to lose. He didn't do any of that. And the one person today that I did not, because I thought Matt Campbell just didn't talk about it. He said, you know what, it is what it is, and we're going to have to deal with it. And I thought, oh my gosh, Kirk, how is Kirk Ferentz going to out Matt Campbell? He didn't. Kirk Ferentz went the other way and jumped on the NCAA and said, I don't understand it. I haven't been talked to. None of this. Nobody's communicated anything with us. Nobody's said anything to us. If you are looking at this with the way that you look at things, and you're three-dimensional the way that you look at things, how are you looking at this? And with a combination of the thing today was, is it the player's fault? Is it the coach's fault? And I'm like, this isn't Northwestern. This is kids sitting in a room betting on their phone. I don't understand how it could be the coaches told them they can't do this.
Right.
I wanted to throw that one out. But what's your thought process on this?
I have probably little sympathy for the players that are caught up in it, because I don't know how you can be in that arena and not have any idea. It's arrogant and it's selfish to make the decisions that they did. And I'll preface that from the baseball context, which, you know, I kind of go by things. I've never had any respect for Pete Rose. Every clubhouse I've ever walked into, the first thing you see is the poster that says, do not bet on the game. And as a person who has made a career out of being in the sports industry, the integrity of the game, I think, matters very much. And while we may be very permissive in a lot of things because we want to do them, I think that there is a higher standard to be held for the guys that get to and gals that get to participate in those sports. And while he wasn't betting on a game that he was involved in per se, you know that if you're on campus, you know, it would have been very easy to go out on Thursday night at the University of Miami and Friday night at the University of Miami and know which way to bet depending on how many of the starters you saw out with you and the condition that they were in, even if I didn't know them personally.
Those are stories I'd love to hear over a beer someday.
Well, and I go exactly down the same path that Randy's going here. It wasn't even his sport he bet on. What if his roommate was dating one of the persons that saw somebody get an ankle? Oh, well, good God, she's 28 points usually. She rolled her ankle. She's going to be at 60%.
Totally agree.
Why does he get an advantage bet? I want to know that information. I want to bet too.
And we are all on the same page because I don't have sympathy for them either. You broke a rule. And if you break a rule, then I think that you have to take the punishment and you have to deal with it. And I'm fine with that. My issue comes with the governing board, and how is it in over 120 colleges and universities that the only two places this is happening at is Iowa and Iowa State?
That's a DCI issue, though.
And certainly it is. But that's a DCI issue that the NCAA, they had to talk to the NCAA about something. They just didn't come in and do it.
I know.
It's not easy. I mean, The NCAA is their job is to administer intercollegiate sports in this country. And I don't think they're doing a very good job of doing it. But I totally agree with you about it is these kids know better. These kids know better than to have, we know better than to have a drink of alcohol and go drive in our car.
The thing that gets me, and some of the stuff that was it today that Kirk said, he goes, you could take, whether it's a student athlete or just a student, and you could fill Kinnick with all the college kids
that are betting
with apps. And why is it that the non-athlete that could be the roommate of the person that knew that the girl rolled her ankle in that scenario that we just had, but is this just a student, not a student athlete? But the crosshairs are still on, to use a horrible term, are still on the student athlete.
Because of their extracurricular activity.
Right.
Of being an athlete.
Right.
There's no way.
Doesn't get to kick the student out.
No, nothing they can do about it because they don't have any, as long as they are.
Right.
See, now there's the other problem. As long as they're 21, they have every right in the world to do whatever 21-year-olds want to do. There's nothing that stops them at the university, but it does stop them from being an athlete.
Yes, exactly.
The comparison to the rest of the country goes into a long-time theory that I've had. You look at the history of the programs that have gotten in the most trouble with the NCAA, and they are operating in markets where there were people who had the opportunity to make their own career by exposing the things that were happening. And I use my alma mater as an example. The people that work for the Miami Herald could make a bigger name for themselves by undermining the University of Miami and exposing wrongdoing. And the reporters in Los Angeles, the same with USC and in Dallas, that stuff doesn't happen in Tuscaloosa and in Happy Valley and in all those other places. And there's somebody in the state of Iowa who isn't tied to those universities that saw their own personal opportunity.
So good.
Yep.
Glad you guys are here. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Randy, Scott, and I will be back right after this Wednesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Randy Wehofer in here with us as well. Scotty's in here too. You can check us out on Twitter. It is at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower _13, at Happy Hour _SS, at Randy Wehofer, and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Minnesota Twins lost to the Brewers up in Milwaukee this afternoon. They have games against Texas on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we have done all of the reads. So just want to give a shout out. We're in early stages with Broadlawn's Medical Center and all the fun things of Broadlawn. So
bolder, better, brighter.
There you go. We have that written down. So we have a lot of stuff coming up with them. We have the soiree that I'm going to a lot of different things. So we'll be talking about Broadlawn's a lot more as we go. All right, Randy, so we have a double homestand coming up starting September 5th through the 17th. You got fireworks on a couple of those days. Anything out of the ordinary different than normal homestands?
We have our last dollar hot dog night, the first night on Tuesday, September the 5th, so it'll be a chance to loosen the belt a little bit.
There you go.
And get one more good feed on for dollar hot dogs. We've got day games both Wednesdays, and then the Thursday of the final series against St. Paul is also a noon game. So we've got three day games. So this is a great opportunity for, as you transition with your office team and looking for maybe a refocus or some new initiatives for the fall headed into the winter. There's lots of mindset shifts that happen this time of year as school gets back in and we turn the page from our summertime promotions or activities. So suites and the Bedford Lounge and the Bud Club and all those things we have to offer, picnics at the ballpark, those are great opportunities. The weekend against Omaha, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to have all three of those be COPA games where we wear the Demonios uniforms, and it's kind of the kickoff to Hispanic Heritage Month, which officially starts September 15th. But we'll do some of the pre-festivities. We're working with some of the Latin media partners in the market as well as the folks that run the festival. Will have live music and we'll have different food stuff and That's a lot of fun. So we can celebrate the rich history of the connections between baseball and Latin America, the Alexander Canario and Jonathan Perlaza and some of the guys who have been some of the top performers for the iCubs this year. Love when we get to wear those, and their walk-up songs are part of, you know, the normal part of the presentation rather than the exception part of the presentation. Those are a lot of fun. So I hope people will take advantage of that.
And we have completed the bobblehead series, correct?
Correct, yeah. The bobbleheads are all given out, although that last weekend, as we get into fan appreciation, if there's a few that are uncollected, there may be ways to download the digital program and win some of the
inside information on the show today. That's why we have Randy
That's
here.
That's why fan appreciation. Excellent. We show our appreciation by giving out lots of stuff, usually that last weekend. So that'll be a lot of fun.
I bet you it's not a Caitlin Clark bobblehead.
Probably not.
No. Those are on eBay now.
There might be one or two that might be available.
See, look at that.
This is easy.
Yeah, that's not... okay, so a few baseball questions out there. What are we at? We're at 165. They play 82. So between 25 and 27 games left. You have some interesting things that are out there, Randy. Baltimore hasn't been in the top of the American League for a long, long time. And you kind of, the Twins are kind of there, the Rangers and the Astros. You're looking at some of this, the Milwaukee Brewers being up on top of the Central. Scott and I have always been trying to figure out, you know, right now there's two teams that, well, actually three, because Baltimore's up there too. The Braves have 81 wins. The Dodgers have 76, and the Tampa Bay Rays and Baltimore have 77. I know I always ask you this question, but the difference in salary cap and all of that is, when you have seasons like this, does that put Major League Baseball at ease sometimes of going over, hey, how do you have so many teams that don't spend any money, and how you have so many teams spend enough money when some of these teams come up and have good years? Does that help the conversation or hurt the conversation?
I think the story's the same every year and the characters change. You know, I think sometimes it's Professor Plum and sometimes it's Colonel Mustard, but you're still in the, you know, it's the same kind of premise. So whether it was the Royals for those couple of years, or it's the Orioles making the run, or, you know, the Rays have been the one team that have figured out how to be in that mix a little bit more regularly, you know, but the Orioles haven't won a darn thing yet, and their owner's already talking about how hard it's going to be to keep all of these guys without building a new stadium when Camden Yards is the standard of what people are trying to do. So you're finding all of these leverage points for owners to find non-baseball revenue streams to help pay the players. So there is always a certain amount of look over here so we can work over on this side, sleight of hand, sleight of voice stuff that's happening. But I think every year there is a team that, you know, whether it's the Phillies, it's not about market size, but they were terrible until they fired Joe Girardi and hired Rob Thompson, and all of a sudden they're in the World Series. Or it's can the Rays finally get it done? Or the Dodgers spent $46 billion, and are they going to actually finish it or just get to the World Series every year? And everybody's discontent and happiness with where the tipping point is, the difference between success and failure based on expectations. So I think it still tells you where the mindset is in reporting on baseball, that I've heard more about the Yankees this week on the national stage than any of the rest of it.
So, not for a good reason, as a Yankee fan. You know, a horrible reason.
Yeah, but, you know, that he, before, 25 years ago, I've told you this story. When I first got out of college and I was working in sports talk radio before I got my job in Burlington and got into baseball, and I was working in national sports talk radio at 101 Sports and producing. And if the phones were slow, the host would go, "Watch this. The Cowboys are overrated," coming out of commercial. And then all the phones would line up. And it didn't matter what time of year it was or whatever. There's always this kind of, you know, we get sucked into just pushing the hot button sometimes on the discussion, And I think it's really important for somewhere for there to be a conversation of what's actually happening that matters, and you know, certainly congratulating the teams that have found their way into some success.
In my bizarro world, I'm gonna change your hat, and I'm gonna put a Kansas City Royal hat on you, and I'm gonna tell you, as the owner of the Kansas City Royals, Randy, you got to go out and you have to help me sell to Kansas City and the Royals fans that I want to build a new stadium, even though I can't fill this stadium, and even though we're not winning, but I need you to help me build a new stadium. Can you make that argument?
Well, I think what you have to do is go out and say, when we won, you showed up. The minute we lost, it dried up. In order for us to sustain, we have to build some sort of sustainable opportunity. So baseball fans, help us sell the idea of attracting the people who are only looking for a good night out and only looking for the other things. And if we can give them what they want, we can give you, the diehard fan, what you want in a better team. It's similar to the way that you would sell a school bond referendum to the senior citizens who live next door to you that don't have any kids in school and whose grandkids live out of the market. Why should they vote to pay a little extra money in property tax or a little extra money in however the funding source goes to build a new school or to do quality of life things, because your kids are going to benefit from it in the moment? There are always those kinds of discussions that are being had in society, and I think this is just one of the ways that baseball mirrors real life. In there are very few markets that sustain their operation by their baseball fans alone. And even the Cubs in Chicago are a good example of that. Wrigley Field sells a lot of tickets, whether the Cubs are in first place or last place. The owners, prior to the Ricketts, realized that if they won, they could sell even more tickets than when they lost, and finally start investing in payroll and some of the other things. But there's always that balancing act. And so you always have to convince somebody that it's their idea and for their benefit to support your cause. And if you can make it a true win-win, then nobody's going to be upset about it. If your experience is better, I'm not really worried about the owner being more rich than he already is. But ask White Sox fans right now how they feel about their ballpark and their team and the turmoil that goes on. It's a whole different world on the south side of Chicago than it is on the north side.
I mean, look at it this way too. I mean, it's where Target Field is up in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on the tram from Mall of America all the way up. You go past, you know, you're going through downtown, the bars, the area, boom, you get off the tram, you're there. You go, you look at what they've done at Wrigleyville. You go, it's not just going to the game, you go to an experience, you can stay, all these different things. Cytown, for Pete's sake, they're doing that in a smaller scale of, you're going to go up to go to an Iowa State event, and it's all the entertainment's going to be there in one package. You're not going to build that around Kauffman. They're trying to take that environment and that feel, take the stadium to them, opposed to
going somewhere where you can build around.
You can create that, opposed to, because you're not going to invest that kind of time to create a K village, if you will, around there. It's just, that's not going to happen.
And see, that's the biggest thing for Jamie Pollard, is he's not selling Cytown when the basketball team's at home or when the football team's at home. He's selling Cytown when they're not at home.
Right.
That's what he has to do. He has to be able to market it and do that when they're not there. That's the genius in doing that.
Right.
And that's the genius of, to a certain extent, of some of these different places that have baseball stadiums, that have other things that you can do. If it's really busy or really hot at a baseball game, you can go and do something else. Milwaukee's really cool. I mean, there's a lot of things to do around where the Brewers play. I mean, there's a lot of places like that.
We walked to Seattle. I mean, when we were out there, what was the other one we were? I mean, it's the ability. You have to drive from wherever what you were doing, drive, tailgate at either Kauffman or Arrowhead. You do your thing, and then to finish your night, you go somewhere else. Whereas a lot of these other places, when we walked out, boom, you were on your way you know, walking distance to some bars, restaurants, right. things like that.
That's when we were down in Texas. Texas Rangers just built a new stadium right across from where their other stadium was.
Right.
They didn't build it to get more people. They built it so the sun didn't beat down on all the people all day long.
Right.
And then they built around it, and they built an amazing venue around yeah. where you can do
What's
everything.
Also really close to that?
The Cowboys Stadium.
Exactly. So that whole area, it gives yeah. you walking distance to entertainment. So it's not just a go to an event. It's a becomes a day-long event.
But that was one of those things. They built the original stadium there wrong. I mean, it was so hot. And by this time of the year, Texas was never there, because playing at home, it was horrific.
But I think you always make every decision with the best information you have in that moment. And the mindset has shifted faster than ever before. I mean, stadiums like Kauffman and those were built because there was parking, because
right.
that was the idea, that you needed a place for all those people. Nobody would go downtown because there was no place to park. And, you know, the Cubs still battle that. And the Cubs are probably the most active of any team I've ever seen in promoting public transportation to the game and all of the other options. You know, so as people's priorities change, you have, you know, if you find yourself on the wrong side of the trend, it's hard to wait for the trend to come back around, but it probably will someday in the way human behavior works. But I think if you really did a deep dive someday on what is the background of Major League Sports owners and how did they become filthy rich in order to buy Major League Sports teams, you're going to find an over-indexing amount of developers and real estate people within that
weird.
Group. Because
not the smartest people in the room every time. But
that's the background. So they bring that background of, I've already built the suburb, I've built the mega shopping center, I've built the entertainment district, so I want to put my stadium in the middle of that, and I want to double dip.
I mean, that's Glenn Taylor in Minnesota. That's exactly what he did.
And that is the success of sports has attracted a whole different demographic of people who want to be in the sports business that never would have considered it 30 years ago when some of these decisions were being made about some of these facilities. It was a hobby for George Steinbrenner and Peter Angelos and bankers and ship magnates and all the, you know, and oil folks in Texas and the people that own the Rangers. That's, you know, now people like Mark Cuban are buying teams and developer, you know, the makeup of that owner room is so different because of the success that the people who bought it as a hobby ended up having. Some might even say accidentally, where they were just buying it to feed their ego and try to win trophies and other things because they had so much money that they could afford to do that kind of thing. But that's not the way people operate Major League Sports franchises any longer. That's not the mindset they go. These are investments, and these are deals that you're looking to
make money.
Make money. In addition, yep. you know, they would take. There was a loss leader in the portfolio of George Steinbrenner for the opportunity to say he had a World Series title. That's not how owners work in Major League Sports anymore.
It's much more fun now. It is much more fun. Even as a Yankee fan, it's much more fun now.
Oh, it's fun to watch you be a Yankee fan
now. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Randy Wehofer in here with us as well. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. One more segment.
Sports fans.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Last segment on this Wednesday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at ScottBrower_13, at HappyHour_SS, at Steen on Sports, at Randy Wehofer, because Randy is in here with us today on this Wednesday. Thanks for coming in today, Randy.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up. As always, we want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Broad Lawns Medical Center for being a part of our show. You're in here tomorrow. I'm in here Friday.
Well, I hope you're here tomorrow, because it's going to be, I don't know how to run the board, so I hope you're here tomorrow.
Well, I'm always
You're actually here Friday?
Yeah, I think so. It's my first Friday in a while.
Oh,
it's a state fair.
I know. All right.
You know, we had to be there 7 out of 11 days.
7 out of 11, 12 including soft start Wednesday.
Soft, yes. So 8 out of 12.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So we had a good time. Okay, a lot of things going on today. I saw some of the first numbers out. Somebody offered Shohei, there was a deal out there, 6 years, $255 million, $42.5 million. Yeah, that's not going to get Shohei Ohtani to move.
No.
Randy, I know outside the realm here, but can he be the first $60 million a year? Can he get that high, or is he just going to get into the 50s?
Well, I guess it depends if Steve,
on who it is.
If Steve Cohen wants to back up the truck and try to...
It has to be one of those teams to do it. It can't just be every team.
Yeah, I think the big thing about Ohtani is you're going to have to find a general manager and an owner who are willing to crunch the numbers and say, this guy is our best starting pitcher and he's our best hitter. And what's that worth? And can I get, what is it cost for each of those two guys on the open market? And because he's one guy, can we pay 80% of what you would pay the two guys that would command that? And will he take it? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know enough about Ohtani and his representation. I don't know enough, but I think that's the general mental math that baseball people are trying to do. Is that
it's a lot of math, though.
Yeah, he is legitimately an MVP and Cy Young Award candidate. And so the going rate for a Cy Young Award winner is about $300 million, and the going rate for an MVP is about $300 million based on the Bryce Harper deal and the Scherzer deal and some of these...
Judge.
These recent... So does that... Because he's both, does that make him worth $600 million? Or because he's one guy and you try to build the team... Will he take 550, or does he hold out to say, no, I am two people. Pay me like I'm two people. And I don't know enough about his mindset, his desires, or any of those kinds of things. But I think that is the general economic debate as to his value. But some of these arm fatigue issues and things that he's been dealing with this year, that will be the thing that will go against him is – you're not really two guys, because over time your ability to sustain that, you're gonna be certainly worth one, you know, and for him at this moment, the 50 home runs a year seems more repeatable than the pitching.
And even he's, you know, he's not like, because even so, if you go on the hitter side, I mean, he's a DH. That hurts him a little bit. I mean, it's not like he plays outfield on off days.
But I think that's because he's pitching. He's your right fielder.
Right.
If he's not in your rotation. I think, you know, so you have to, he's a DH because he pitches every fifth day. He's not a DH because he can't play the field. You know, he's not Bryce Harper with Tommy John surgery and coming to play first base, or, you know,
right.
or a Cecil Fielder who is a liability on defense. He is capable and to very good as a defensive player, but you just choose to manage the intensity of what you're putting him through.
With Shohei, though, what do you – I mean, you just can't have him as a hitter. He's got to do something else. I mean
– Well, even as a hitter, he's one of the best hitters in the league.
Right.
I mean, he's one of the best power hitters in the league. You have to say it, I guess, that way. But, yeah, I don't – it's the other part that gets him up
right,
to
exactly.
that amount of money.
Right.
No, I get that. One of the biggest stories out there, and it's a big story because of the individual that won the starting job in this football pool of San Francisco.
Yes.
It's a huge story today because if this was another team that had spent a third round draft pick on Trey Lance, a third pick in the first round, I'm sorry, not a third round pick, the third pick in
third
the overall draft.
Pick. Yes.
And then had this happen with Brock Purdy. If it was another team that didn't have the management style that this, mm-hmm. I mean, San Francisco did all of that. And even if they let Trey Lance go, it's not
right.
in the short term, it's not hurting them. I just think of this in a general manager way or an ownership way. If you whiff on that and you have a quarterback, Brock Purdy's never making $20 million a year. He can, I guess. If he keeps winning, he can. But he doesn't, you know, not undrafted, the last pick. I mean, San Francisco, I don't think it's going to happen to somebody again, but it's so weird that it happened to San Francisco and they survived. Most NFL teams, if you make that pick and you miss on that pick that bad, you don't survive.
We've gone down this path of talking about it, though. The piece that Kyle Shanahan needed to put into his puzzle was Brock Purdy.
Right.
Don't make mistakes. I don't need you to be a magician. I just need you to be the piece.
Has that mindset to be able to do that. Right. Not a lot of quarterbacks have that mindset.
And here's because everybody's talking about Trey Lance, and it's clickbait all over the place of he should be, you know, his possibility he could be a $30 million quarterback for the Vikings. He should go to Dallas. He should do, you know, this, and this, all these different things. But the best thing I read today from Kyle Shanahan was he would have to physically melt on the practice field for him not to be my number one.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves him. He fills the what he needs and what he needs to have in his pantry to make his meal that he's going to make. So,
and Green Bay did the same thing. They drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah.
Made Aaron Rodgers angry.
Mm-hmm.
Pouted for a couple of years. Didn't win football games and now is gone. And I think Jordan Love is going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the least of Green Bay's problems is Jordy Love. Who's your rooting interest in the NFL?
Bears, just growing up in suburban Chicago. So I don't invest a lot of time in them in the last few years, but that would be the team that I would claim.
I would be one for you because my middle son, Andrew, is a huge Bears fan. I think you guys are going to have a good year. I think they have I think they have the pieces in place in management and in coaching. That I love Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is going to have a really good year. You don't like Justin Fields.
No, I do. I hope he doesn't try to do more than what he's supposed to and hurts himself again. But like I said, I think he has more of the pieces that he's going to do better.
The guy who's a Miami Dolphins.
Dude, I'm not out here banging the drum saying they're going to be Super Bowl champs, but I'm saying as we're talking about the NFC North, I think that division is going to be, you know, for a while it was the Lions are going to run away with it. And, well, the Vikings can't really get up over the hump. You know what? They're putting the right pieces together. I think Jordan Love's going to be better than what people expected. They're not just going to be a crater in Green Bay. I think NFC North is going to be a fun division.
I think it might be the best. They may not have the best records because I think they're going to beat up on each other. But I think they're the four best teams combined of any of them.
Yes.
I really do, because I think Detroit's going to be really good. And all they needed, you know, not – Randy, we've talked about this too. Some of these teams that rise and fall, it's either ownership is crazy or they can never find the right coach or they don't have – in football, it's the toughest because if you don't have a quarterback, you have to have all three. You have to have ownership, you have to have a coach, and you have to have a quarterback if you're looking at Super Bowl wins.
And because everybody agrees for that, everybody reaches a quarterback to be desperate, and then they make bad decisions.
And reach at coaching to think, okay, you know, so the one thing that should be the thing that you hold on the most is general managers, and you have so many egotistical owners that's the one place that they don't like to give the publicity to because, okay, if I say that my general manager's great, then people aren't going to think that I'm great.
Right.
So
because owners aren't just owners anymore.
No, they're all fighting against each other.
I picked this player. I did this. Tomorrow, just to give you an idea, I want you to prepare for this. I have the number one overall pick in one of my fantasy leagues, so we need to figure out who I'm going to take because it's either McCaffrey or Justin Jefferson. I'm not sure because we got to – I mean, it's running backs and wide receivers for the points, so you got to help me because we got to get this team figured out.
I'm in.
It's a family league, and that means something.
I have two of them coming up. So that is. Are you a fantasy football guy?
No, I stopped. I used to play fantasy football, and then the league that I was in at the end of the year, everybody got together, and everybody wanted to change the rules of the league so that their team that year would have won if the rules would have been different. And so I
guarantee you that does not sit well with you.
I found that to be tiresome. Draft better.
I thought he was going to say he was the one that had to wear the dress because he lost.
Stop changing the rules of the league. Draft better and know the rules.
I could see that happening. Randy, as always, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you coming in here whenever you can make it in here. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Scott and I are glad you came in. He's going to be back in.